the leading of the Holy Spirit occurs only in the context of your yieldedness. If you don't yield to him, he's a gentle spirit. He's not going to push you. And you realize over time, you keep having your way.
Life is a journey. And as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
I want to speak today on the subject dealing with our frustrations. There are a lot of frustrations among Christians, and we have tried to cover it. But I am one of the preachers, I don't like covering the stuff we are frustrated with. I always want to talk about our frustrations and figure out why some things don't happen the way God said it will happen. In fact, the scripture says when you sing, people must literally see the glory. So if they are not seeing the glory, then something is wrong somewhere. Do you agree? And we want to just search the scriptures today and gain an understanding of it. Amen. Now, we've been studying from the book of Acts, and so far we have understood that when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, everything about them, come on, talk to me. Everything about them changed. Peter was changed. Philip was changed. Every single one of those people, there was a great change that came to them. So if you speak in tongues and you still curse, your tongues needs to be buried. We pray for you again because something is not right. Are you guys with me? What really is bothering me is found in the book of Mark chapter 16. And please pick it up there with me from verse 15. Mark chapter 16. And this is Jesus. He's living the earth. And he said these words. They are so crucial. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out. Come on, talk to me. In my name they shall cast out. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drunk any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall what? Are these things true in the Bible? Are these things true? Does it happen in our lives? You sure? There are some things that are not happening the right way in our lives. Miracles should not be something that happens once in a while. It must take place all the time. So if it's not taking place all the time, then something is not right. That is what I want us to visit. They shall speak in new tongues. The same sentence, they will lay hands on the sick. You've been speaking in new tongues for a while. When will you lay hands on the sick? For them to recover. And gradually we find people who leave the body of Christ. They leave the church. And we say they have become rebellious. But which of you will keep going after something that you know doesn't work? Let's just be honest. How many of you? Because I'm somebody, I ask a lot of questions. How come I have preached to these people for more than 10 years and they still live the same way? Something needs to change. I said, what needs to change? Something. Turn with me in the Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Because here we see a picture of the disciples before the Holy Spirit came upon them. Are you Matthew 17? Look at verse 15 to 16. And here we find that a man brought his son to the disciples for them to pray for him. And they couldn't do it. These are disciples of Jesus. They are like most of us today. Are you Matthew 17? So after the disciples couldn't do anything, Jesus comes around and the father of the boy said these words, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And that has become the story of the church today. Let's be honest. When you are sick, what is the first thing you look for? Tylenol. Medicine. The average believer, when they are sick, never takes the opportunity to say, I'm going to lay my hands and make a declaration. Our first line of action is to follow man-made solutions. The other companion text to this verse was that if you read Matthew, he says the boy was epileptic. He had epilepsy. That's a natural condition, right? But the other companion text in the book of Mark shows us that the epilepsy was caused by a spirit. It was demonic. How can a doctor treat something that is demonic? You tell me. He can't. When COVID hit, the entire world was shut down, and Christians, including me. This message is not to condemn anybody. It's to awaken your conscience that it's time for us to pay attention to what is important. What is important is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one who's going to make that difference. The entire world was shut down, and Christians will meet another Christian, and instead of them to shake hands, hey, why? You shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But you are afraid. Because we have chosen the way of the world. Intellectualism is so much risen. I believe in going to school. I believe in being educated. I have a doctorate degree. So please don't get me wrong. But whenever intellectualism replaces the supernatural, we are like anybody else. Was that a time that Jesus confronted people or they brought something to Jesus and Jesus said, let's use psychology to heal them? The Bible says he laid hands on them. Even in this instant, the father said, this is epilepsy. But Jesus says, that is a demon. It takes the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see it. So most of us, I like the disciples. They couldn't heal the boy. Fast forward. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit descends. The same Peter and John and all these apostles. The Bible says they were going into the temple. They met a guy. And then the guy says, give us money. It says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and what? Is it not the same dude? But something has happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 that has changed the people who could not confront epilepsy. Now they have the ability to confront blindness. And it doesn't happen one time. It continues because the church of Jesus have decided the Holy Spirit is only a discussion in theology. What I'm selling to you today is that I am sick and tired of the status quo. We must return to a relationship with the Holy Spirit and ask him to work in our lives. Are you guys with me today? And Christians, let's be honest, why don't you go for prayer meetings? It's not because the prayer meetings are not good. You know it's good. You don't go because you know your prayer will not be answered. Even before you start praying, somewhere at the back of your head, see, some of you are smiling quietly because you know these are your frustrations. Today, we want to deal with that frustration. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? The thing that made the difference was not how smart they were. The modern day church, if we are standing in front of the Red Sea, what do you think will be our action? Anybody? If the modern day church were standing in front of the Red Sea, what do you think will be our response? We will have to set up a committee that is going to investigate how to build a bridge over it. But God says, no, there is something more superior. He is not ignoring the bridge. There comes a season where you have to build a bridge, and the Holy Spirit will tell you. But there is a season where you have to raise your hands, and God will part the sea. My problem is that the church has so much accepted everything in the world that we are losing who we are. So the church, the world doesn't want us anymore because we are just like. I want us to get to a place as a church that when you walk in here sick, you should never go home sick. Did you hear what I just said? But there is a work all of us have to do. And that is what I'm going to teach on. I went to church and I have COVID. So I covered my mouth and I went home with COVID. Now, you come here with COVID, you leave without one. You come here with cancer, you leave without one. You don't need a special crusade. It must happen every Sunday morning. Are you understanding me? So let me summarize. This is my summary of the problems that is frustrating us. And if it hits you, then that is your frustration also. Say, yeah, yeah. So let's try it. Everybody say, yeah, yeah. All right. So when I say it and it hits you, then you say, yeah, yeah. One of the problems that is frustrating Christians today is that our prayers are not answered. See how many people say, yeah, yeah? Do you realize that there is an uptick of prayer lines everywhere? Even here, we have one night with the king. We pray 10 hours. But after 10 hours, the problem is still looking at you in the face. So what are we handing over to our children? Because they are looking at these things and they are wondering, are my parents cuckoo? How in the world they keep trying something that is not working and they still keep doing it? Just so we'll feel good, we say, you know, prayer works. No, I want it to work in my life. Not it works. It has to work in my life. Are you guys understanding me? So that's why you say, when we pray, it must what? It must be answered. But Pastor, you know how God answers prayer. Yes, I do. We follow them. So it must be what? The second problem I find that is an issue in the church is that the Word of God doesn't seem to be working. I didn't say the Bible doesn't work. I'm saying it doesn't seem to be what? Working. And that's where you say? The third frustration I have found is that we do not know how to make the power of God manifest to help us deal with our situations. We don't. So everything we are doing as Christians has become monotonous and boring, and the kids don't want it. Kids these days, they are rebellious. So no, they see the thing we are doing is not working. That's why they don't want to have no part in it. So the time has come, and I began to search to find out why do we have to fast 21 days and still get fired? Something is wrong somewhere. And I decided I'm going to search for it because it is important. And I hate to go in my grave and to think that I left a church behind that does not understand the power of God. What did David say? One generation will tell another generation about what? About the power of God. But if this generation, who are supposed to tell the next generation, cannot experience the power of God, how did they tell the other generation? You're already frustrated. Many, they are frustrated. So as soon as we call for prayer meeting, Pastor Neil, he's trying, but he knows that thing is not working. I heard you. If they were sharing money in Washington, D.C. right now, and they said the condition is that as long as you get there, you get $1 million, this building will be empty in split second. Why? Because instead of you to sit here to hear a word that will not give you $1 million, you want to go get the $1 million. What? What I'm trying to say is anything that does not work, nobody wants to stick around it. If the thing works, people will go around it. Why are people following false prophets? Because some things are working over there, even though it's not through God. Because they see it work, they go for it. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? So, for the sake of your own children, you must seek God to hand over to them something that works. Amen. So, our prayers are not answered. The word of God does not seem to work. It works generally. Some people, they have every app. They read the Bible, they meditate the Bible, they memorize the Bible, but it looks like the Bible doesn't work. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 10, verse 19? Anybody? Luke chapter 10, verse 19, what did Jesus say? Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and yet you are always afraid about demons in your family. Why? It's because we know that even though we have access to power, the power is not working in our lives. And today we want to find out why. Are you guys ready? Maybe it's not you, but how many of you are feeling those frustrations? Let me see your hand. Mine is up. Don't be afraid. Whether you are saying yes or no, you know. You can see. You see, we wait till when the doctor says there are no solutions. That's when we start seeking God. But we can seek God, so there is no need for that doctor. And that doctor will come and ask you, how did you solve the issue and didn't need me? And you tell him, it is Jesus. And so they will look for him. But if you are chasing them, why would they come chase your God? I am believing God to raise up a generation in this ministry who are ready to believe God for the supernatural. They're intelligent. And the intellectualism is nice, but it does not solve. Can you see the modern day church building the committee to build bridges? So they are building bridge over the Red Sea. Instead of saying, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be confronted with the Red Sea. Red Sea, open. Power is available to us. We need to figure out how to make it work for us when we need it. The answer is two things. Number one, write it down. It's because the kind of faith we have is no faith. Jesus says if you have faith, you will move what? How many of you have faith? How many mountains have you moved? Somebody said a few. You need to move more. I think that fundamentally, our definition of faith is wrong. Yesterday, I was talking to my wife, and we were discussing this. She didn't know I was going to teach this. And I said, something is wrong somewhere that anyone who believes in me, in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. How can we believe in him and these things don't happen? And some people will explain it because we are not part of the original apostles. God have mercy. Was Paul part of the original apostles? No. Was Andronicus? Apollos? Aquila? All the other people who came later on, who God used mightily. Did Philip, was Philip part? They were not. But God used them. So, and this is not an adult matter. That is why I asked all the kids to stay. When I received the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I was 10 years old. 10. And at that age, I was so doubtful. And I questioned everything. And I still question everything because if something is not working, you must question it. Instead of just being quiet and say, as for God, you can't question him. If you wrote 66 books, you just expose yourself to be questioned. Don't you think? Because if it's 66 books, I can't understand all of them. I'm going to have a question somewhere. And today, I want us to begin to understand. The second thing that is a problem, first is faith. Our faith, I think, we don't have a better understanding of faith. Second is the Holy Spirit that we have ignored. And the two have something to do with together. I'll teach it, but please understand this, that proper faith can only be born in an individual in whom resides the Holy Spirit. That is the conclusion I came to. And we're going to investigate the scriptures. Are you ready? The Christian life we live must make sense. It must carry power. And when we tell people God heals, you should be able to lay hands on someone and they should be healed. Are you with me today? We have all been taught this. It's in Romans 10:17. The faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by what? And hearing by the word of God. I believe that this that we have been taught is true. But I also want you to understand that it is too simple. Right now, as you are listening to me, you have faith. Some of you have more doubts right now than before I began to speak. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, we must understand how, what kind of hearing. Now, I've known these things, but when I hit the road, I hit a block, I go back and recheck some things. And when I began to check them, I realized the understanding we carry in the body of Christ is wrong. And today, I want us to correct it. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by, come on, talk to me. So then faith comes by and hearing by the word of the Lord. The word in that context. Actually, the Greek term that has been translated word in this verse is not logos, the written word. It is rhema, the spoken word. I have always assumed that faith comes by hearing this. Please, I need you to follow me very carefully. Faith comes by hearing the spoken word. The actual word there is the word rhema. Faith comes by that. When you hear the spoken word, then the scripture says, logos is the written word. Everybody say logos is the written word. But rhema is the spoken word. I want to ask all of you a question. Do you hear what you read? Anytime you are reading, do you hear it? Most of us don't read loud. We read very quietly. So do you hear what you read? And when you read loud to yourself, does it really produce faith? in you. It will bring you to a level of faith, but not the kind that move mountains. And I'll prove it to you. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter, because there is a way that logos becomes rhema. And it is not when you say to yourself, it is when the Holy Spirit breathes on that word as you hear it. Are you in 2 Peter chapter 1? Look at verse 20 to 21. Let's read it together. 2 Peter. He says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, or simply it is not of human origin. But the word of God, the prophecy, came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved. Another version says, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So anytime you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit must carry you along the words that he actually wrote through people. When that happens, when he carries you along, then rhema comes. But just reading raw stuff will never produce faith in you. Did you just hear me what I said? Did you hear what I just said? So these days you hear people like, oh, it's not good to have a Bible on a tablet. I agree that it's not nice, because you are on the tablet and all of a sudden somebody sends notification. Beeping. So people start attaching importance to a book, thinking that faith comes when you are holding a book Bible. But that's not true. It is only when the Holy Spirit takes the words that you're reading and breathes on them to you. But I will still advocate, hold a book Bible. Because when you keep getting distracted by pimping notifications, you will not hear what he's doing and saying. Amen. Are you guys learning anything? When I understood this, I still felt something was still not right. So I began to trace through the Old Testament. How many of you know of Abraham? You know of Abel? Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you know of Abel? You know of Abraham? You know of Enoch? By the time these guys were living, the book of Hebrews says they functioned in faith to the point that their faith were moving mountains. But this Bible was not written then. So what was their faith based on? It's not on the Logos. Are you understanding me? This is why people can go to school and do religious studies and they become crazy like anybody else, because reading this raw word without the Holy Spirit, literally, moment by moment, breathing this word into your spirit, if that doesn't happen, this will not produce faith. And the church has become accustomed to just, people wake up in the morning, let me read so that when somebody asks me, did I read the word, I can say something. So we are reading, but faith is not building. When you read Hebrews, you'll find out that the faith of these guys was so strong and so powerful were some of the things they did that you and I, who have the whole Bible, we can't even do. Because their faith was not rested in the Logos. It was rested in a rhema. But there is a way the rhema occurs. That is the stuff I want to teach you. Are you with me? That is the stuff I want to teach you. Now, going forward, everybody pay attention, because what we are about to do, it's so, so important. If you go back to the book of Matthew, when the disciples could not heal the boy, what did Jesus say? He says, you couldn't do it because you have no faith. Jesus himself said it, that the solution to us manifesting power is because we have no faith. But faith does not come by just reading the Logos. This Logos must become a rhema. It must be spoken directly to your spirit, not your head,